We're taught to push our feelings down, to power through, to keep it together. But what if the stress, the fear, the emotions we bury don't actually disappear? They go somewhere, into our bodies, our nervous systems, and even some believe our health. My guest today is an internationally celebrated artist who faced one of the hardest things a person can face, cancer, and found his way through it, not by burying what he felt, but by expressing it through art, through his body, through creativity, as a form of healing. Today, he's going to show us what it really means to process what we carry and why letting it out might be one of the most powerful things that we can do for ourselves. My guest today has lived an extraordinary creative life and a story of survival that gives it even a deeper meaning. Brett Ashby is an internationally recognized contemporary and performance artist in Australia, known for boundary pushing work across visual art, performance, and new media. His art has been collected and exhibited around the world. He's also a cancer survivor. Journey is deep intertwined with recognizing, surviving, and healing. He's here to talk about his art, emotion, the body, and finding your way through the hardest moments. Brett, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stacey. Lovely to be here. And hi to all your listeners.
You know, I am so amazed with your story. Now, your story took a turn that most people never see coming, facing cancer. And I want to, you know, honor that. So please share only what feels right to you. You know, would you take us back to the chapter and what it was like to face it?
Very much so, kind of like a mid-career. So, you know, I started like 10 years making my artwork from 2006. And then around 2009, I went to America working with Barack Obama's portrait during the Hope campaign. And then around 2016, I was struck down with cancer. So kind of mid-year. So now we're at 2026. So, you know, I started out in photographic collage. I used to travel the world taking photographs and creating visual narratives, almost like animated portraitures in their faces, and also iconic landmarks like buses and buildings. So this kind of chaos and complexity was my experience as a young boy moving abroad, in living in a new city environment such as London, where I did my fine art degree at Queen's College in London. So then we're going forward again to around the 2016 time, because I returned back from living abroad in 2012, where I started doing paintings while skateboarding on a half pipe. So I was commissioned by John Olson, a painter in Melbourne, who was opening a new hotel and restaurant. And I said to him, well, if I'm going to make an artwork, I'm going to return to a childhood fear of mine when I was a semi-pro skateboarder and I had an accident during my high school days. And I said, I'm going to overcome this fear and skate and paint. And it was almost like a green light where he ticked it off and said, well, I'm going to fund that. So that was my return to skateboarding. And this body of work was called Boovement, and it was Brett's movement. So that was the start of the skate and paint, but it was only kind of a few more years after that where I got the information that something inside of me wasn't in balance and alignment, and it was a real shock and something I never thought was coming.
Wow. Now, how did, you know, that experience change you, not just as an artist, but as a person? And how did, you know, you saw your life and yourself?
Yeah, so I was talking about the different paintings I was doing, the different people, and the moment that I was feeling like there was something inside of me, some form of toxicity or some kind of thoughts that were impacting my waking life. So it was around the 2016 when I went in for the surgery. So it would have been around the 2014 year that I actually started making changes to my life. So my body was expressing that there was something going on inside. So I relocated my life down to a coastal environment. I bought a house on the waterfront in a seaside town, and I was eating vegetarian food, swimming and running every day. And so I was doing wellness and kind of on the outside, people would imagine that all is well here. But what was happening is in my studio, I was doing some quite dark and more expressive artworks with words and statements and oil paint and chemicals, and it was coming out. So in a way, I was healing myself through this body of paintings that were almost cancer-like. And I was getting to this moment where I put the wires on the artwork, I'd bubble wrap the artwork. I did about 30, 40 of these paintings, and that series was done. And it was only like, you know, I just finished them all and the body had expressed that. And then the next, you know, I laid down that night and I said to my fiance, I said, oh, you know, I think I've got cancer. So it was only kind of that short time. The day later, I went down to my local childhood GP, and fair enough, he said, yeah, you've almost pushed this to the surface, but you've got cancer. So you've got 1 week to live, and it's widespread lymphoma and testicular cancer. As a boy of 30 years of age, you've got to have surgery or else you're not going to survive this. So yeah, very much so a moment where I just stopped and realized everything to that moment didn't mean anything, and all I wanted to do is have one more breath and one more week to live. So I had to make a change.
Wow. Now, you described your art almost as a form of therapy, a way through what you were facing. How did creating art help the process, and you know, what were you going through at this time?
I really speak on that. Like, I think it saves lives. I think you can express the pain and the deepest challenges or traumas or experiences one's had to that moment outside of yourself. So I try to talk about it like, if there's a river inside yourself, if there's a blockage in the river, it's not flowing. And it's only as a survivor that I can talk about this, but it's about taking those elements away from the river. And when you express that outside of yourself, you can be the observer and the witness, and the people will come to see your river. So, you know, those toxic thoughts, those things we eat, the things we drink, the toxins that come from pollutants and everything around us, you know, sometimes it will affect your flow inside yourself, and that needs to be expressed.
100%. Now, what can expression, putting something into a canvas, into a performance, or into the world do for us, just, you know, thinking or talking about our pain, you know, what our pain can't do that, you know, different forms of art can?
Yeah, well, artwork's a really amazing medium, as such as it, I try to explain it as this matter expresses, but it sets and dries. And I've also made filmmaking, so I document my painting performances and my work, and people exhibit it as film and sound and spoken word, but it tends to live through people. And when I was making my films, I've written 5 songs, and I've made music, and I've got the vocalist to sing the lyrics, and I've typed the lyrics. So, but music tends to live like a living entity, and I feel like it doesn't dry or set. So one thing I like with a painting is it's all about liquid and the paint palette, and then it just dries, and it's almost like it stays there, but it's like got all of that storytelling set within the paint. And that's a challenging thing for people to think about, but if you think we're energy, we're vibration. So I did a series called Energy. Once I was survived cancer, I had the first body of work was called Energy, where I painted subjects energy. Then the second series called Frequency, and the current body of work's called Sonic Flight. So it's very much about vibration and the inner dialogue that we can't see. And like you said, the neurology, the nervous system, the afferent energy forces up and above and around your nervous system. So if you think about the spine and how the universe rotates around your spine, how do we paint these stories? So that's what it's all about.
Now, you're interested in the nervous system, stress, and the emotional patterns that we hold. And I find this very fascinating. And in your experience, what happens to the stress and the emotions we don't express? You know, where do they go?
Yeah, the spine holds all the stories. So very much so, all of the stress cells, all those stresses placed upon one's shoulders throughout their journey. It's like carrying rock sacks up the mountain. And it's very much a thing when people say you need to leave some things behind, you need to not attach to things. And a huge part of my journey coming out of surviving cancer was letting go of a lot of items. So, you know, to have an international art business, I had a lot of equipment, I had a lot of vehicles, I had a lot of trailers, I had warehouses, I have over 2,000 artworks all over the world and storage facilities. So if you can clear that out, put leave things, donate things, and also inspire other artists by donating equipment and materials, it was a huge letting go, and it also made me lighter, and I felt like I started getting my energy back.
I love that. Now, what have you learned about the connection between what we carry emotionally and how we feel physically?
Yeah, it's so important to, you know, talk about my skateboarding shows. The one thing that they're about is the journey. It's not the final artwork. It's about how did the artist achieve this 1 hour live theater show? How did the subject arrive, the live musicians, the projection art, and then the painting while skateboarding between a half pipe for 1 hour nonstop? And what, to answer your question, it's about having no thoughts. It's about dissolving fear, allowing the mind to have no thoughts. It's like a flow state. It's very meditative. Between the skate ramp, there's a sound bath occurring, and I have my back to the audience dressed in black, and I look directly at the subject, and we, in through this flow state connection and exchange of energy, there is no thinking. So this is how I'm trying to express the energy and the stresses in the body coming from myself, the audience, and the subject. And it's about not thinking. You don't control everything, and the thoughts, the mind and the body is more powerful. So I'm trying to discuss that and make people think about this very much. So if you listen to your mind only, the body holds the answer, and it make you sick.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And now, if you've been holding a lot in, this is for the listeners out there, this conversation might be exactly what you need to hear. Stay with us and follow The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi right now. Every week, we bring you the people who help you heal, express, and live more fully. Now, a lot of people listening, you know, right now might think that it's beautiful, but I'm not creative. I'm an artist. You know, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I think everybody is creative. There is a light force within us. We can express. It's about, I've done workshops. I've facilitated major projects, public artworks with youth. They're very stagnant. They feel like they've been dulled down. They feel restrained to express and share their spoken voice. And the first thing that I say to people, just to extract geometry from within someone, is to start making your mark. We don't know what that will be, what art form or medium. Some people dance, some people move, some people run and swim. The skateboarding and painting, if it connects to you, it's about rolling, it's about dissolving fear, and it's also about using something you love, like I did as a child, even though I had a major accident, injured my neck and lost my teeth. These type of things, the inner child desires. So connect to something that you loved, keep moving and moving forward. So it's about rolling. 1% daily changes, Stacey, you know, you'll get there. You'll also start making art. If you just make a mark, one mark outside of yourself, it starts to grow. people talk about it. It's a starting point. And, you know, that's how I try to explain it to the youth, and they start making a mark, writing some words, using a typewriter. Find a tool that is old-fashioned or traditional, or, you know, everybody's done this before you. So the way I wrote my songs, I used to take a caravan trailer and camp near the ocean. I'd walk for 2 days around, and then I'd come back and just connect to the landscape and use a traditional typewriter that was gifted to me. And that's how I started making music. So there is no real right way to do anything. And all the education sometimes is an overload of thinking. So just find your own way and make your mark, and the stories will come through you. And the great success of these portraitures that I'm doing with rock stars while skateboarding is about that something comes through us as well. That's beautiful.
I love that. Now, how can someone who doesn't consider themselves an artist use expression in whatever form to process stress and emotion in their own life?
So I think maybe it's going to bring you to some sort of exercise or routine. I think you need to have, you know, some things that a ritual, they say. So you might do find a meditation, you might do some forest bathing, you might go bushwalking, you might do your ice bathing, you might have a hot spa at night. I think these are rituals, and they're quite artistic, they're quite experimental. If you can't make art, then explore other ways. So during my healing, I used to sleep on the timber floor, directly on the floor, because I wanted to feel my body again. So I think people might see that as quite quirky or very culturally different. But for me, I wanted to feel my shoulder again against the floor, because it took me 6 years to do a press up and sit ups again. So very much so finding your own way, building your strength back up. And the great success I had from my performance art was me rebuilding my legs as a very successful soccer player, because I'd lost all my muscles.
I love that. Like, so where do you think people should start?
In making artwork, or?
In making artwork and learn how to be creative and really, instead of feeling the pain, using creative, you know, ness to kind of.
Yeah. Well, for me, people said, you know, how's Brett make his art? Well, the first thing I did was to step outside. I went to some of the best galleries in the world. I went and took photography, which everyone can do now on their phone, new landscapes. A lot of my art and projects are based on place and space, and everything we need is inside us and around us. And all the thing is, the human, we shouldn't stay still, because nature is always moving, and inside us is our own nature and it's moving. So I'd say if you can't make your art yet, or you can't express these stories and pains within you, then take yourself to an art gallery, connect with a new community, enroll in some different activities that are almost to rewire your brain and place you in an environment that you were uncomfortable with. And by being there, what I noticed, and I've done all these things, is the person in front of you, that's their normality, that's their normal reality, and they'll see you is that you've always done this and you've always been there. But it could be your first time, but no one will assume that, and they'll treat you equal. And by being in these situations, it's full of learning, it's full of potential, and you'll receive as much as they'll receive, and it's always equal. But it's such an important way for you to change your life, witness something that this community is shining back on you, and it's most likely the artwork and people have done it before you. So very helpful.
I love that. Now, you've been through something that, you know, tests everything, including your mind. Like, what did you learn about mindset, about the mental side of facing something that, you know, that was so hard?
So for me, really, I just had to understand that I grew up and I always must have had such a strong mindset and a real addiction to succeed. And the real passion and I had a real hard shell my entire life. I think the hardest thing for me to understand even to this day is that I've been so hard on myself. And, you know, there's periods now that I'll be more than happy to just do nothing. But this has taken me 40 years to realize that doing nothing is actually can manifest into such amazing things. So sometimes we're running forward in a direction at high speed and steadfast focused and everything's on point. But for my journey, you know, I grew up in a countryside town and I did everything I was ever taught to do. I reached the highest points of business that I learned to do. And but then I was struck down and to realize that maybe it's okay to slow down because your body can't keep up with this.
Wow. Now, what carried you through? Like, you know, what would you say to someone who's in the middle of their own hardest chapter right now?
I think calm down the noise. For me, a big thing was to go to nature, also removing people around me. I mean, there's a real discussion around cancer where, you know, people show up and people don't show up and you start to see true colors. I mean, when I woke up from surgery, I looked at the television. I was like, wow, is that what the television looks like? You know, I could see the colors again, but as a external thing, but I'm talking about like people as well. So very much the ones that thought loved you, they don't love you. The people who are friends, they're not really friends. Sometimes they don't want to know you're sick. So there's all these challenges as well. And the most important thing for me was to find your tribe. If these aren't the right people, get away from them because you have to serve. The only one that's going to change this or get you through this is yourself. And if you can find a handful of people, three or four, make the changes and you know, make sure you're going to live this, make yourself better.
I love that. And you've come through it and you're creating, you're exhibiting, you know, living boldly, you know, while you paint and riding a skateboard, no less. Like, how did surviving change the way you live and create now?
So I just, the main thing for me was to just have trust that, and it always been the way that if I was making my stories, my truth, my original content, it has always been leveling out. So you might express this, you might put this risk down, you might expend this on the exhibit, you might do this. But no matter the cost, no matter the risk, the ledger with the accountant's always on zero and balanced. And somehow the universe will deliver no matter the extreme expression or experimental nature of what you're doing. So you have to trust that there's something greater than you going on. And that is something that's always kept me going, you know, forward and passionate because there is always a collector there. There's only Brett. There's one Brett and there's one collector. And that's a lovely thing about making art on canvas is that there's a lot of humans out there and there's a lot of art shows, but there will always be someone that wants exactly what you're putting out there, but you just got to find them. But isn't that like a really amazing challenge to do your art? And, you know, how would I ever think that I will... So coming out, we're talking about the year 2016 again. So 2020, I was started skateboarding, painting my childhood rock stars. I used to call the singer of the band. I used to go and meet them, take photography. And then there was one moment, there was one singer of a band, rock band, and he said, I'll sit for a portrait. So once he sat on the skateboard vert ramp, 20, like what, you know, the pro skaters skate and do aerials on. He sat on the steel skate ramp. I dropped in. I skateboarded around an easel in the middle of there, painted his canvas, and he totally got it. And all these rock stars that I've painted and celebrities, they're interested in frequency. They understand what it's like to exchange energy between a stadium of people screaming. And I'm trying to paint that, but these were my childhood dreams of like seeing these people and these entertainers and working with them. But instead of filming them or interviewing them, I'm painting their portraits. And, you know, this might inspire some people. Like, I painted some of the biggest American pro skateboarders. They sat for their portraits and they said, "This is my first portrait ever, Brett, and you're skateboarding." They were like, "This is brilliant." Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's all meant to happen. And then I'm just trying to do original art and they're just getting their portrait done, but they spent 30 years of their life being a professional skateboarder. So sometimes it's exactly what they want. And if you thought you were controlling that, there's absolutely no way. You just have to trust that you've got a vehicle and you're going to make your art. But what we're talking about, Cece, is about having no thoughts. It's about showing up and being confident and professional and doing the best you can every day.
Love that. Now, what does living fully mean to you today on the other side of it all?
Well, being a father and, you know, just being kind and trusting that, you know, I thought I knew so much in one lane. But now stepping into another lane on the footpath, you start to realize you know nothing. So I'm loving being open to many, many different realms of information. And, you know, I'm studying some health and wellness as well. So I'm really excited about the next stages.
I love that. You've lived an extraordinary creative life and you survived something that has reshaped everything. So what do you most want every person listening to understand about expressing what they carry, about healing and about finding their way through their own hardest moments?
I just really like people to know that everybody's done it before you. You're not alone. I love this word synchronicity, and I found through meditation, you know, all my paintings have come from an altered state, like in a dream or a feeling or visions that I see prior to doing the artwork. So lots of famous artists we spoke, and, you know, if you see these visions, these creations, you know, you need to extract them and paint them before you can't see them. So in a way, it's, you know, it's also about painting your reality. It's about, you know, if you see it and you dream it, you can manifest it and you can live it. And I think these type of ways of thinking, they're very artistic, but this is where you can create your own reality. And if it's not doing what you want it to be, you need to change it. And you can change everything from the socks you put on every day or the t-shirt you wear. Go down to a secondhand store and get a different outfit. Make the change. Whatever capacity you've got, change everything and you'll soon have the life you wanted. You know, if you want to have a new vehicle, well, go and test drive the vehicle you want and in a month you'll own it.
Right.
You got to see yourself, place yourself in where you want to be, who you want to become, see yourself inside there, and then there's a way for the human to get there. So you have to change your reality, change your environment and situation to be better.
I agree 100% with you. Now, you've written 3 books. Can you tell us about the books that you've written?
Yeah, so they're basically documenting different paintings that I've done through the different chapters of my life there. So, yeah, the first one was titled Yell at Me and I'll Do It. So, yeah, it's got a lot of work from the photographic collage, the artwork with Barack Obama and Princess Diana, and my journey from mixed media into movement action painting. And then the second one will be exploring more public art, workshops, art therapy, and ways to do what we've been talking about. And the third one is about really more paintings from when I was doing my action painting, frequency, energy, and sonic flight, where I was doing around 50 live portrait shows a year with notable celebrities. And the later works were working with people from different disciplines, so lawyers, actors, people in medical, painting doctors and different. I wanted to see if the energy changed throughout the series of portraiture. And, you know, also the feedback from most subjects was, I said, what am I doing? So I always ask the subjects or the youth or the who I'm working with, the client, what am I doing? And the latest statement was being alive. So that most subjects said it's the first time they've ever felt alive to sit for one of my paintings. It was a way for them to be seen. And also, you know, it's they feel stuck. People feel stuck. But the work that I do is not stagnant at all. It's very vibrant and it's full of energy.
I love that. That's amazing. Now, you sell your artwork on your website and you also have it in exhibits and stuff. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, so I've had an art gallery in Melbourne for the last 5 years. It was called Inner Essence. We're going to be showing at Art Basel in Doha 2027 and Venice Biennale in the Melbourne Pavilion in 2027. But people collecting my artwork on Singular Art, and most people that want to engage with me, you can catch up with me, direct message me on Instagram at Brett Ashby Artist, and my website is www.brettashby.com. That'd be really great, Stacey, to help connect and share online.
Definitely. And you've done films also. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so part of my healing during COVID-19 was I was doing the editing. I mean, it was in lockdown in Melbourne. It was one of the challenging times in Australia. But what happened is in Tokyo, we shot a one-form film, short film, in a restaurant in Tokyo, and there was three large walls that had screens on them. So we projected 7 years of my public art performance, skateboarding art, on there in the Japanese restaurant, and we shot the short film in there. Now, this one was called The One I Love, and the film was shown across 67 short film festivals worldwide, and it would receive best short film in experimental genre. And this was because when I was doing this editing, it was the first time that Brett hugged himself, and that's what the film's about. So it was about me. It was telling, storytelling. There's title sequences, animation, and my performance art. So it's very, very, it was narrated in Russian, and it's got shamanic Gregorian chant and drumming. An artist performed in the restaurant. So yeah, it's very much art and filmmaking, but it was when I, you know, took time for myself and then I started getting some really great awards for it.
I love that. I love that. And for everyone out there, it turns out that the things that we carry, the stress, the fear, the pain, don't have to stay locked up inside us. They can be expressed, released, and transformed into something more meaningful. And Brett Ashby showed us today that creativity and expression can be a genuine path through the hardest things, and that on the other side, there's a fuller, bolder way to live. And I just want to thank you so much, Brett, for your honesty and for your art. And for the people out there listening, if they could walk away with one or two things, what would you want them to get from this conversation today?
It's been lovely, Stacey, and it's such a great host. And for everybody listening, I think the most important part is, you know, to be kind to yourself, be gentle on yourself, because, you know, It's almost like swimming. It's low impact on your body, but you'll stay really, really fit and energized. So I never did those things. I carry a lot of injuries from being a successful sportsman. So yeah, I think you get to these points where it's okay to be soft and gentle on yourself. And as a man, I don't think we're doing that. So yeah, take a small takeaway, be kind to yourself, hug yourself if no one else is, and you can have the best life. It's limitless.
I love that. That's a great piece of advice. And also, if people want to find your books, where can they go to find your books?
Yeah, it'd be great. They're on Amazon Books. So yeah, they're worldwide. So just search Brett Ashby.
I love it. And if this moved you, share it with someone who's carrying something heavy or facing a hard chapter of their own. They need to hear this. And I want to thank you once again, Brett, for being on the show today and sharing everything, that you share. You share a beautiful story about yourself that took a lot of courage to share. And you will help many people out there. And I think people don't realize, but it takes a lot to really talk about the hardships we go through in life. And, you came here today to share it with the world and to bring good to this world and hopefully help somebody out there. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for having the courage to do this and for turning out to be such a wonderful example and mentor to so many people. And you overcome the crisis in your life, and now you're making good by showing people how to, bring the beauty and creativity outside from their inner self, and to bring it through artwork and through other creative resources. So I want to thank you. And also, I think one great thing that you said today is that we all have the creative ability. Some people say, oh, I'm not creative. I'm not, I don't have that, but we all do. And I thought that was such a great comment that you made during our conversation. And once again, I just want to say thank you for being here, and thank you for just being you.
Thank you so much, Stacey. It's been lovely.
Thank you. And you have a great day.
You too.